Hello?
Who are you?
Pardon me?
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
Can I ask why?
No.
Can I ask who this is?
John Kimball.
John Kimball?
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Who are you looking for, sir?
You lack discipline.
Pardon me?
You lack discipline.
Do I lack discipline?
Yeah.
Can I ask you what this call's about?
No deal. I want to ask you a bunch of questions. And I want to have them answered immediately.
About what?
Who is your daddy and what does he do? Stop it!
Sir, I have no idea who are you looking for?
You!
Sir, you have the wrong number.
You know you're lying.
No.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
I'm not bullshitting you.
And you expect me to believe you? You know you're lying.
You have the wrong number.
No deal.
You have the wrong number, sir, I'm telling you.
You idiot!
Why am I an idiot? I'm telling you, you have the wrong number. You're calling me an idiot. You're asking me who my daddy is and everything like that.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, you have the wrong number. You persist on telling me that I'm a liar.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. I'm telling you you have the wrong number.
Your kids are soft. You lack discipline.
No, I do not lack discipline. You lack sense.
Stop whining.
I'm not whining.
Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not out of my mind. You're out of your mind because you're talking about business.
Stop whining.
I'm not whining.
No more complaining. No more Mr. Kimble to go to the bathroom. Nothing. There is no bathroom.
Sir, I'm telling you, you have the wrong number.
Fucking idiot, you got the wrong fucking...
Who are you?
Dick, you fucking called someone else's house, the rude fucking gestures, on a long-distance phone call costing me fucking money, you piece of shit.
You're not gonna have your mommy slam behind you anymore and wipe your little douches.
You fucking faggot.
You're a fucking choir boy compared to me.
No, you're
a
fucking
choir
fucking
boy.
You fucking mooly.
You cracked open Books, Beer, and Bullshit, the podcast with the moistest goats. As always, we're here with Frank
and Jeff.
And Jeff, my pod hosting compadre. Not really hosting, we're podcasting, sir.
Yeah, we're podcasting. I host nothing.
I host nothing, you host nothing. We're just bullshitting, sir.
That's right. I host a party in my pants.
Speaking of parties in your pants, have we got a book to review for the fine folks this week? Huh?
Oh, this is a wiener.
it's a gem.
It's a gem. It is a gem, all right. It's something that you just don't read every day.
No, it's not. And who better to talk about shit you don't read every day than Books, Beer, and Bullshit?
Yes, because this book is something. Well, let's just say his mother must be very proud of him.
Something's wrong with this gentleman. This week, we're reviewing Ryan Harding's Genital Grinder. It's a pretty rough book. It's best described as extreme horror, and boy, is it extreme. So, you know, I think one of the reasons that I wanted to start this podcast with you is, like, you and I, we're, like, the only two people that we know that read, really, and it's tough. Like, you know, you want to talk about books with people, and like, all I got is you, and everybody else is blank stares on their faces.
Yeah, there's not a lot of serious readers that we hang out with.
No, so like, in a way, I want this podcast to, like, you know, obviously a lot of our friends are going to listen to it, and whatever other nutcases are going to listen to this. And maybe if we talk about books that people are just drinking beer, maybe if we talk about the shit we read, like, this is not Stephen King. This is not Clive Barker. This is not Clive Baldi. Like, this is not mass seller stuff. Like, we're really getting some nutty shit here.
Yeah, it's almost like reading indie press or indie magazines in its own sort of way.
Yeah.
Or listening to indie music. This is some stuff that, like, normally you wouldn't. You're not going to find it at Barnes & Noble's.
Not at all. No, you have to search this stuff out. But it's. Beautiful when you find it, because you're not gonna. Nobody's gonna turn this into a movie.
No. You have to be in the scene, so to speak.
Absolutely. It's the only way. The only people brave enough to put this stuff out there is these publishers,
right? Who, you know, they're making their own little market there. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people. I mean, you go on their website, and there's plenty of people on there making comments and, you know, reviewing stuff and everything else. So we're not, like, the only two people out there.
No, there's definitely people who want to put this stuff out there. So, like,
and want to read it. The whole thing is that I'd like to say up front, this is something that I probably would not have read had it not been for this podcast.
Yeah, right. It was, I can't say I would have picked this up off a bookshelf, but I do tend to, I mean, this is a real extreme case, but I do tend to read this type of stuff. I'm a little more indie than you are.
Yeah, and you know, I don't have no problem with the indie type genre in and of itself. I mean, it's pretty good. The Bizarro stuff, a lot of it is really well written. It's just, there's just not a market for it. I mean, it's a good read. Even this book was a good, solid read. Like, you could sit there and the story carries you along.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just disgusted with yourself for reading it.
Well, let's let this podcast serve as a challenge, right? You don't want to read. I want you to read. I want you to pick this. We're going to review this, and it's going to frighten you. It might scare you. It probably will disgust you, but I want it to be a challenge. I want you to pick. If you're going to pick up any book, I want you to dare yourself to pick this book up, and I want you to double dog dare yourself to do it after our review of the book.
Absolutely. It'll change your whole outlook on things.
That's right. You're going to start reading after this podcast. So let's dig into the book a little bit. Why don't you, Jeff, introduce the author, Ryan Harding?
Okay. Ryan Harding is a co-author of the Partners in Chime chapbook with Edward Lee. His stories have also appeared in anthologies In Layman's Terms and Excitable Boys, and the chapbooks A Darker Dawning and A Darker Dawning 2, Rain in Black. Right now, he is probably either watching a film involving strange camera angles and a black glove killer or thinking about watching one. It does not say whether or not he has a mother.
No,
whether
it does
or not,
not
she is completely offended by him.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks. And after you read this book, you're going to have a lot of question marks about this author. First is going to be, how is this guy not locked up?
Yeah, how is someone with this sick of an imagination not, I guess he has an outlet for it.
Let me go down. There's about 10 stories in this book, but they're all threaded together. They're not directly, it's not one whole story, but there's each short story has something to do with the other in one way or another.
All the stories seem to take place in the same town.
While they're not, you could read each story on its own and not lose anything.
Well, there is one main story thread with two main characters that thread throughout the whole book. Even though they're short stories, each short story continues on the next short story, on the next short story.
Right.
So it isn't like you could sit down and read story X and without reading story Y. Well, you could still get confused. Yeah, you could make do and put it all together when you're done.
Right.
But it's really a book you want to read from page 1 to page 160, whatever it
is. Yeah, that's the way this short story collection should be read. It was put together to almost read like one story.
Right, exactly.
But you should also know that these stories were written at different points in the author's, you know, life, and they weren't necessarily originally intended to be threaded together.
Yeah, they're all written as standalones.
Yeah, there were a couple that were in other compilations, and they've been reworked, reworded, retweaked to sort of fit all together in one way or another into this book. Another part of these stories, a lot of them are written to be read aloud at horror conventions as part of a gross-out contest.
Which he undoubtedly won.
He definitely won once. And he definitely caught the eyes and ears of publishers, the other authors, and is how he's wound up where he is. So what we start out with, actually, the first story, the best of my recollection, really, I didn't find any thread. It was called Bottom Feeder, and it was basically Hagen. A guy takes a...
Hagen Dazen.
Hagen is when you
Let's all speak German. Hagen Dazen.
Hagen is when you... Yeah, I guess you take one for the team or whatnot, and you know, it's been a rough night at the bar. You got no luck, but there's that fat chick that's left, you know, wallowing or booze, and you know that's your surest thing for the night. So he winds up with this chick in his bed having a good time, and the chick dies on him,
literally,
and then literally. Something starts eating away, and something weird happens there.
Evil fetus.
And, I guess that's
what I took out of it.
But my whole thing was, I don't think that story really... It was the only one I didn't find a thread through the rest of it.
No, that was...
very standalone.
Very standalone. And very, of all the stories, very predictable.
Yeah.
I would say, I'm not going to say it was bad. I'm just going to say it was the weakest.
Yeah, it was the weakest. It would have been nice to have some... If there was a connection, I missed it. Continuing on, the actual first, when things get into it, is called Damaged Goods. And they feature two characters, Vaughn and Greg, who I think are probably something akin to Jay and Silent Bob meet Freddy Krueger.
I was thinking more of Bill and Ted meet
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
And I was thinking really more of necrophiliac Bill and Ted. And,
well, whatever they are, they're certainly fucked up. And that's where you start to say, well, what the hell's wrong with this guy? That's the first story. We meet Greg and Vaughn, and they come upon a victim of a hit and run.
And they think, yummy.
Well, I think, yeah, they think yummy, but first they think...
Ooh, my nuts are on fire.
That chick we know from high school, I never got to bang her. Let's not call an ambulance. Let's throw in her trunk, bring her home, and fuck her.
Yeah, basically.
And that's the gist of that story.
And then I believe later on they chop her up for food.
Yeah, that happens later on.
Yeah.
Then you got the... So these two are going around violating corpses, and then...
That's just a warm-up. We're going to violate some corpses.
We start the next story is called Sharing Needles, which is almost like an O. Henry's twisted story of serial killers. That's about what it comes down
that,
to.
You can't explain it any other way.
Yeah. That feeds into the plot of the whole town and murders taking place. You follow it up with the pinnacle, the self-titled Genital Grinder, a snuff act in five acts. That's really the coup de grace, I think.
Yeah, that once again features our pals Vaughn and Greg.
Vaughn and Greg are back. This time, they decide they're going to make a snuff film. They've already violated the one corpse, and now they're out kidnapping a
TV anchor lady.
A TV anchor lady, who's been reporting on, coincidentally enough, the serial killers. And they swipe her. They swipe a pedophile and a couple other people. They don't want to star in the snuff film themselves. They just want to film everybody else getting snuffed.
They're the producers, not the actors.
Yes. After that, you have a story called Development.
Oh, that was that the...
That was the
Photomark guy.
The Photoshop story, which was, yes, was good.
And he ended up finding photos of a dungeon. And then when he questioned the guy down, he got all up involved. It was like apt pupil.
Yes, that's exactly what I had written down in my notes. It reminded me of App Pupil.
It was App Pupil with a perverted twist.
Well, the guy he worked in a photo store.
I don't think they have photo marts anymore.
They don't, but
dates the story.
What was interesting to this story about me is I knew somebody who worked in a photo store, and in this story, the guy, you know, he develops everybody's film, and he's coming across everybody's dirty pictures that they take, and he's making copies for himself, keeping them in binders. And what's funny is I've actually seen for real in real life that there is binders at photo stores.
I knew somebody
that had them, and I've seen the binders, and well, they're not as gory as this. They are, definitely are as explicit.
And this story also has a fine twist at the end where his favorite captive was his sister.
Oh, that's right. And there's also a little reference in the story, too, towards the end, if you didn't notice. It was a an homage to Brian Keene, where he named the detective that he spoke to Officer Keene. It was a little tip of the hat I noticed in the book, so I bring it up. Yeah, but I also, in addition to App Pupil, I also noted that it had a Silence of the Lambs sort of a feel, too.
With the dungeon. Sure.
Yeah.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, that one-hour photo. It had a lot of that, too. This guy must watch a lot of movies, because reading a lot of these stories sort of brought movies to mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then after Development, we had Emissary, which... Also, I kind of was like, what was the connection to the other stories?
I don't remember what
this
story was.
This was the video store clerk who's watching like the Faces of Death type movies.
Yes.
And he sees
the scenes, the people from the scenes.
Yeah, he keeps seeing, right. Other people watch the movies. They're saying these tapes are blank. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm watching like people I know getting killed. Mm-hmm. But the people keep walking in.
Right.
He keeps talking to them, and what ultimately in the end...
Ends up killing all of them.
Yeah,
being the murderer.
Seeing the murders ahead of time on the videotape. That was actually good. I don't know what the connection was to the...
Outside of it happening in the same town.
The same town was about the only thread, I think.
Yeah, I think it was about that. That's probably just how he tweaked it to get it in the book.
Right. The other thing it could have been was a lot of these where the serial killers first come in, they're getting blamed for murders, as we find out that like Vaughn and Greg are doing, and this might have been another one they were attributing to.
Yeah.
After that, we go back, we revisit General Grindr Part 2.
Dismembered.
Now, this, the moment, the big moment, and I had a lot to talk about General Grindr 2. Sammy the Butcher does have a torture basement.
He does, and he does have a dead mother.
And he has a dead mother? No, the mother's not dead.
Oh, no, she's not.
She's just very pussy.
Yes, she's just a puss bag.
And anyway, yes, Vaughn and Greg go and cut off a mafia guy's dick at a glory hole at a strip club. And then take it back to Sammy, who wants to have it, who has the ability to reattach it once his wife, once the mafia guy's wife pays the ransom for the dick back.
Yes, $5 million for your penis back.
Right. And of course, calamity ensues. It's gory, it's nasty, but it's kind of funny too.
It is. It's one of those things where you would laugh, have to laugh.
If you don't laugh,
you're sick.
You'll cry for sure. Now, this is the worst, easily, of the grossness. First of all, somebody eats an aborted fetus frozen in the fridge because they wanted a snack. That's nasty.
That is nasty.
But what really struck me about this one is, you know, you and I both read a lot of zombie stories, and everything's, you know, one shot, one kill, bang, bullet to the head, dead. Kills come quick.
Yeah.
In this story, there's a guy who happens in on all this stuff going on, and they want to kill him. They try like hell to kill him. But this guy takes a whooping, and he just keeps coming. Like, they don't ever get a good kill, blow, shot, whatever, in. They put a gun to him, and they only blow off his jaw. The guy's still coming at him. They nail him in the head with a mallet, and his eyeball falls out of his head, but it's still attached at the retina. So, like, he winds up looking at himself for the first time in his life without a mirror. Oh, my God. And then they bite the eyeball off, and then they batter this guy, and he will not die, and he just keeps coming at him, and like how the hell, and you really think, well, bodies are pretty resilient, actually, unless you get one good shot to the brain or something, or decap.
I guess when it's, you know, either fight back or die,
yeah, like, you
just
know,
to keep going.
Yeah, he got hacked up in every way that you could not just kill a guy. And he just, like you said, when you're, you know, the animal instinct, when, and it, you forget, like, sometimes it isn't all that easy to kill a person.
No,
you
shock, know? Shock sets in. You don't feel nothing anymore.
Man, this guy took it for pages and pages. He just would not die. So I was like really blown away by that. And, you know, when you're used to zombie stories, to see like somebody, and you're like, Jesus, yeah. You know, it's not always easy, just one shot, one kill. And the other thing about this story was, besides being the greatest fucking up of a person in story history, I found the ending to be, was it a happy ending? It was happy for the participants. But it was a very good twist of the ending, and this is definitely one. It was vile, gory, the most disgusting, descriptive things going on, and yet there was humor in all of it. You know, you had that Keystone Cop bumbling of Vaughn and Greg going on, and just these little funny bits of the story and the twists, and the ending was definitely, like, I wrote happy ending with a bunch of question marks, because it seemed like it was a happy ending, or at least you should believe so, but it's really all terrible.
It was 12 dozen pages of deplorableness.
Yeah, and we'll cap off real quick. The final story was called Final Indications?
First Indications.
First Indications. And that one also had a very slight thread I picked up for the other ones, but outside of that, it didn't. This guy wrote he was a writer of medical pamphlets.
Yeah.
And he wrote one of the medical pamphlets that one of the strippers who got kidnapped in another story had brought up.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it was like a Y2K
right
scare story.
It tied in, though. I mean, it tied in with the rest of the stories.
It kept the tie in, and it was all right.
This was a weird book. It's just so twisted and disgusting, yet funny and captivating. And there's really no way to aptly describe why you keep reading this book. It's one of the things where you pick it up, and once you get through the first story and you're into the Vaughn and Greg saga, it keeps you wanting to read more. Even though you're disgusted with yourself for reading it.
I think that's part of the reason why you keep reading it, is because there is story there. It's not the blood and the guts, and it's very descriptive, very graphic, very nasty, sometimes hard to take. But there's story there that keeps pulling you through it, and it's captivating.
And a good story arc and a good storyline for such a book. You know, it's not just how many penises can we chop off and how many vaginas can we violate with a Hoover vacuum.
Right. And it's not just constant vagina violation. It's not constant penis chop. Like, there's just, who knew there were so many just nasty ways to disgust anybody, yeah. Really, you know?
Truly. And yet it still had a storyline. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know, it wasn't just off on all 93 different directions just trying to dream up something grosser than, yeah. You know, he did before. So.
Yeah, very. You wouldn't think on the surface, you got to raise the vile thing ever, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, it's vile for the sake of vile. It's not. It's got very good story.
You'd have to pick it up yourself and make your own decision whether or not it's a horrible, horrible, filthy pile of disgustedness.
Yeah.
Or just a very descriptive piece of literature.
That's yeah. Like I sort of threw down the reading challenge to the non-readers in the beginning. I mean,
hey, you know what? If you're not normally into reading stuff, this might be something for you to look into. Get a copy of this and see if you can take it.
Yeah.
And this just might be something that sparks a lifelong
love of
reading.
Yeah, because there's other stuff like this out there. It may not be nearly as extreme, but it's certainly out there.
It certainly is out there. And once again, it's by Ryan Harding and has a price point of $9.99 in paperback.
$9.99 in paperback. Not out on e-reader yet, but it will be very soon.
Yes, it will be out. You could get it from Deadite Press.
DeaditePress.com.
Right. So, dude, check it out. I would have to say, honestly.
Yes.
Did I enjoy this book?
I absolutely enjoy this book. I rate and review on Goodreads, and that's a 5-star rating system. I wanted to give it 4. I couldn't quite pull the trigger for 4. I gave it 3, but in all honesty, if I could go 3.75, 3.75, I would go there. It's not quite a 4, but that could be the short story angle that loses a little bit for me.
I was going to say that if it was just the full-length book was just the Vaughn and Greg show.
Yeah.
You would have 4 stars.
I want the next book from this guy. I want to see Ryan Harding's The Adventures of Vaughn and Greg.
Yes.
That would be like just road trip. Vaughn and Greg on a road trip, this in extreme horror style, I'm all in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Vaughn and Greg's gaping anal sex across the country.
Absolutely. That's what we need from Ryan Harding.
Raping the country.
Raping the country, Vaughn and Greg. That's what we want. Who would you, I mean, we threw down the challenge. We want people who do not read regularly
to read this.
Pick this up. You're going to like this. Can you think of anybody else who might want to read this? The people who read 50 Shades of Grey, they're going to get into this, right? This is a love story.
It's a love story, man.
Well, who wouldn't love a girl with 5 vaginas? Well, 1, 4 others sewed onto her.
What's not the love?
That's tons of love. That's 5 times the love.
Do you think, if he had a sister, he, like, mutilated his sister's Barbie dolls.
Oh, and my new favorite word is chime, by the way.
Chime.
Do you know what chime is?
No.
I had to look it up. Chime is, after you digest in your stomach, there's that little pouch right under the stomach leading into the intestines.
Okay, yeah, like the connector.
Right.
Like the
so
coupling.
It's the digested food on its way to the intestines. It's the not quite shit yet.
Ah. It's still the...
Right. It's no longer corn, but it ain't shit. That's chime. I love that word. Chime is a great word, and I'm going to use it a lot more in my life.
I think I will too. Well, Frank, I'd say that just about wraps up our book review of the week, of the episode.
Yes, it does.
Well, what time is it?
It's time to scream, butch,
Bakino Baten Stachi,
dir der Boot wird put,
Bakino Baten Stachi,
dir der Boot wird put.
But no, but and snatchy.
Dear the put vir put.
But no, but and snatchy.
Dear the put vir put. It's tight like a tight tiger. Why have we chosen to speak Dutch this week, sir?
Well, because we are having a Dutch style beer.
A Dutch style beer from New Jersey, actually.
From New Jersey.
Home of Books, Beer, and Bullshit.
Flying Fish Brewing Company of their Turnpike Exit Series.
Exit 8. Everybody
knows.
Chestnut
Brown Ale.
The Chestnut Brown Ale. That's why we chose it, right?
That is why we chose it.
Chestnuts and beer.
Chestnut and beer. A little history on the Flying Fish Brewery first. Gene Mueller founded Flying Fish Brewing Company in 1995. The Flying Fish Brewing Company is located in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, 7 miles east of Philadelphia. state that once boasted 50 breweries, it is the first microbrewery in southern New Jersey and the first brewery built in that part of the state in more than half a century. From its opening in late 1996, Flying Fish has tripled its capacity and has become the largest of the approximately 20 craft breweries in the state. And that would about do the, for our history of the brewery.
There you go.
And let's get into the description of the beer.
The Exit 8 Chestnut Brown Ale.
All right, to celebrate Exit 8, one of our big farming areas, they brewed a beer that uses lost local ingredients, chestnuts. And chestnuts.
Chestnuts.
What do you call nuts on your chest?
Chestnuts.
What do you call nuts on a pea?
Peanuts.
What do you call nuts on your chin?
Chin nuts?
A dick in your mouth.
Bitch.
And, oh, we're going green. We have local honey.
Local honey. We are localvores.
This full-bodied hybrid Belgian-style brown ale brings forth a nutty character. I bet you it does.
Does it have a brown eye profile? It
has a clown eye.
Clown eye for the brown eye.
From the chestnuts, accented by the flavors of honey, roasted barley, and oat flakes. There's a nice spiciness from the Mount Rainier hops, while Chinooks add a touch of pine.
I love Chinooks. Fuggles, and also Canucks.
Fuggles and Columbus round, round out.
Fuggles?
Fuggles and Columbus round out the hop profile.
Oh my goodness, we're going to drink Fuggles.
I believe there's a touch of Fraggle and Garbage Heap.
The Fuggles taste like Fuggles.
Hey, you want to know what it pairs with?
What does it pair well with, sir?
Hearty foods like roast pork, sausages, and a nice aged Gouda.
Oh, I love a Gouda and a sausage.
Oh, nicely aged Gouda.
Smoking a pancake?
It's bottled conditioned and 8.3% alcohol by volume.
Oh, we're going to get fucked up. So what do you say? You want to get fucked up on some Flying Fish Exit 8 Chestnut Brown Ale?
I hope it's extra fuggly.
A little a jerky music maestro. Jeffrey will now open the bottle. It looks something akin to a champagne bottle. It's dark and lovely. It has a little red wrapper on top that Jeffrey is struggling with. We really need to get a little flip cam to record such moments to give you a little accoutrement to our podcast. He's cutting away at the... Oh, he's pulling it out. It has a brown label with the Exit 8 logo on it as he struggles with the cap. He's taking a snifter. How does it sniff, sir? Do you smell the Fuggles? Are you Fuggle smelling?
I smell the Fuggles.
He smells it. Oh, let me tell you something. I can smell it from here, and you're standing a little bit away from me. All right. Jeffrey's going to pour into the glass now. Oh, it is very dark and heady. It's not quite as dark as a Guinness, but it's a very dark brown color. It almost smells delicious. I have a very large head. And Jeff has a small head. I don't want that to be any sort of indication of anything. Okay, so Jeffrey has poured us...
My head is just right.
So, we're going to throw back the Flying Fish Exit 8 Chestnut Brown Ale.
I will say, this is chestnut brown.
It is a very dark brown color. It's not dark black like a Guinness. It's a very dark brown.
No, it's dark brown.
Let me take a snifter of it here. Okay, let's see what goes down. I haven't gotten to the beer yet. I'm still drinking.
Still getting some head.
Still getting head.
It's the beer that keeps giving.
Go ahead. I got to work my way to the beer.
Why don't you blow your head off? Frank is blowing his load of head. He Did you say that head has a happy ending?
Well, it tastes like New Jersey.
It does.
It's dirty and kind of polluted tasting.
It tastes like if you took Guinness and watered it down a little bit and put toilet water in it.
I'm not picking up nutty. Not chestnutty.
No, I really don't taste the chestnuts nor the pine.
Nor the local honey.
Well, you know, actually, I think I might taste the local honey. Because it's New Jersey honey.
It's like clover.
No, it's like industrial waste honey.
I'll tell you what. For as dark brown as it looks, it doesn't drink as heavy.
No, it doesn't drink as heavy. I hate to say it. It's actually...
It does not taste good.
No, but I mean, it doesn't taste like obscenely gross. I have nothing like...
It smells a lot better than it tastes. Hold your nose and drink it. Now, do you taste the pollutants?
Man, I really wish this beer tasted worse than it does.
I mean, it's a beer-tasting beer.
Oh, yeah, it definitely tastes like beer.
Now, are you well-versed in Belgian-style beer?
No, I would not say that I am.
You don't have a real feel for what a Belgian is?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, outside of
like the
wheat beers.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Belgian.
This is nothing like a wheat
beer.
Not
at all. That's what I was going to say. When I think Belgian, I think wheat beer, and this is not wheat beer. It's very thick.
I mean, it has a good alcohol pop because I can feel that. I can feel the buzz.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting buzz.
Empty stomach here. Good buzz.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm having a problem with the flavor. I thought I'd get like a nutty sort of a flavor. I'm not picking it up. I'm not picking up the honey. And it's like...
It's sticky.
Like I said, like...
It's sticky.
It is a little sticky. That must be honey. Sticky lip.
I really don't know what to make of this. I don't think this is something I would drink.
Right.
Like, as like...
You're out at the bar. They got this on tap.
I'm not reaching for the exit.
You're not going, exit eight. I don't know.
But being I have it here, I'll drink it.
I'll tell you what. I like a manly beer, a very beery tasting beer. And this wants to be there, but the flavor for me is just a little bit off. I'm not really getting it. I don't know. It's like the aroma doesn't match up to the flavor. Maybe that's what's throwing me off.
That very well could be. Because
are you finding like it's not tasting like it smells?
There is a gap there of something. I mean, like, we drank more of this already than we drank of the Stevie.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to say this is bad beer. I think that would kind of be irresponsible to say it's bad. Especially, I mean, we got a nice big, like, champagne bottle size. I don't know what the hell size this is, a liter, a pint. It was like $10. It can't be all that bad. We definitely didn't go this far with the Stevie.
No, this is a beer-tasting beer. And this is...
It is, yeah. I mean, I can't come down on this beer. I can't rag on this beer. You can't rag on it.
No, outside of it not being as advertised.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to sum this beer up for
you. All right. Good.
It's beer, and you can't really taste the fanciness, so you're paying a real high price point for beer.
Okay. All right. I'm with you.
You know what? I also think that we're like all psyched up to try a piney chestnutty beer to see if that calamity could actually work.
Yeah, and there's
and
just,
you're not getting
there's
any
nothing
of that.
There's nothing to comment on as far as the flavor. There's no nuttiness.
No, there's no. It's beer.
Yeah.
Welcome to a darker beer. Thank you very much.
That's it. Yeah, it's a brown ale.
Have some Newcastle. There you go.
Yeah, a little thicker than Newcastle, but just straight up.
Straight up, same flavor profile.
Yeah.
I don't care that like you put chestnut in it because I'm not tasting it.
No.
I don't care that you put Chinooks in it because I'm not tasting it.
Mount Rainier Chinooks?
Mount Rainier Chinooks all the way from the West Coast.
Yeah. I guess we'll just sum it up.
Expensive beer.
Expensive beer.
Yes, Flying Fish Exit 8. Buy it for the bottle, not the beer.
Well, that was kind of a letdown, so we're going to give you a little bonus beer tasting this week.
Bonus. We have backup. Never fear.
Yes, we do. We have something else that might taste like complete shit. So, we're going to get a little French on your ass.
Everybody, it's time to yell French. We are going to try Ephemere. It's a French-Canadian beer.
Yes.
Allegedly. It's ale brewed from apple juice, coriander, curacao peels, and natural flavor added.
Yeah, and in our travels, our short travels so far, we found that you can never go wrong tasting a fruity beer.
It's brewed by Unibrew, and they're in Chambly, Quebec, Canada.
Chambly, Quebec, Canada, which is just south of Moosehead.
Moosehead. And, well, they're owned by Sapporo, believe it or not.
No kidding. They must have got bought out by Sapporo.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, there was a bunch of mergers from, like, a beer from, like, the olden days of Canada, which was, what, 1982, I think?
About 1982. Didn't Jacques Chirac run shit then?
I believe so. Jacques Chirac.
You can bet his name was Jacques.
Yeah, you could bet it. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Let's see here. This is flavored ale en lisse. That means there's yeast in it, and we have a 5.5% alcohol, and the price point of $9 for a 12-ounce bottle.
It's still not a cheap beer. It's supposed to be quality.
It should be quality. It's they say it's taste of Granny Smith apples. So.
Oh, boy. It's going to be tart.
Alrighty. It is time to crack it open.
Are we going
to
go with a little more drinking music?
A little more drinking music, Maestro.
The bonus beer tasting for this week. Jeff's cracking open the Ephemeral Apple Brew. It supposedly has apple juice in it. That's a little virgin, virgin
just,
swing.
It just blasts you right in the face with apples.
It's very apple-y. This could be the French-Canadian version of the Steagle. I definitely taste apples in the air.
There are apples everywhere.
Apples everywhere. So, good sir, the second beer tasting... Here we go.
Because once is not enough.
Frank, my taste buds just jumped out of my tongue and punched me in the eye. I can't even talk.
I want to review this like a disgusted Frenchman. This is a crop. This is crop in a bottle. Oh. I, Pepe, the beer drinker, say this is shit.
This tastes like I smell.
This tastes like I smell like a shit with apples.
It is effluent water with an apple skin.
It's as if somebody has farted in my bottle, stuck an apple in the bottle, put a cap on the bottle, and then gave it to me and said, drink my fart apple bottle. This is
shit. I wish you could say it just farted in my general direction.
I will not suffer the indignity of drinking this beer. This is terrible beer! How dare you, filthy American, make me drink this beer! Give me the champagne right now!
I will call this the sour fart beer.
Oh, give me the exit 8 immediately! Wow, this is not good.
It is making my eyes water.
It does not taste like beer. It does not taste like apples.
It does not taste like a cider.
I don't even taste the coriander.
It is a vaginal swab cider.
I want this beer to go away or I shall taunt it a second time.
I wish I could say it tasted like elderberries, but it does not.
It does not taste like elderberry. No, I taste a little bit of apple. I taste no beer.
I taste shit.
You put shit in front of me. I ask for beer. You put shit in front of me.
It is like a wino who can only afford apple cider.
This is the shit of a filthy French. Oh, wow.
It is the piss.
Wait. Let me taste again.
It tastes like chlamydia.
This is not good at all.
Why do you do this to me? I know. My French is like half fucking German. I sound like Mussolini, Hitler.
Well, you know what? I will say, it does have a clean finish. No, it doesn't linger longer.
No, it doesn't linger, but it does not sit in the stomach well either.
This is not good beer.
No, we're going to, in our bonus beer tasting, have to tell you to steer clear of the FL meh.
They say it's a dessert beer.
No, a dessert beer. That guy, we watched a little video on their website, and he was like, oh, this is refreshing. You taste like you're riding down the side of a mountain. A mountain in Canada. And you will feel very refreshed. This is like the Klondike bar of beers in French Canada. This is not the Klondike bar of Canada. You know what? This is now the second Belgian we've drank today, and I actually prefer the Exit 8.
Yeah, the Exit 8 was drinkable. Holy crap, Frank. You got to try this out of the glass.
No, I don't.
No, because it smells like a horse butt crack.
You know what I'm going to do, sir? I'm going to make this good beer, and I'm going to give the Exit 8 some fucking flavor.
No, don't.
Yes.
Don't.
Oh, there it goes.
He is pouring into the Exit 8. Now we have an apple-y, chestnut-y.
This is Exit Canada, motherfucker. Down the fucking hatch.
That's gonna
Exit FMA.
That's like a Toronto go-go bar floor squeegeeing. It's like after they squeegeed up all the...
Wait, I think we've made good beer.
That could not possibly.
We made good beer. Try that.
Yeah, okay.
No, go ahead. Try that.
Yeah, go ahead and try it.
That's good beer. We made it taste like apple beer, and we gave the chestnut beer something to taste like.
Just smell that.
No, that smells like rotten piss in a urinal.
Oh, urinal cake. We made urinal cake flavored beer. That's just, I can't even believe I just drank that.
It's not that bad. We've made the Exit 8 taste like something, and we've made the FML taste palatable.
Palatable.
I want to eat that on my palatable.
I bet you that would pair well with a nice piece of moldy brie.
A gouda.
Oh, well, I guess that wraps up our beer segment.
Yes, the bonus double beer tasting. So the Exit 8, drink it if you have $10 in your pocket and you want to blow it on one stupid beer instead of like 20. And FML, only drink if you want to fucking be disgusted with your life.
Yes, if you want to say, holy crap, I spent money on this. What do we always say? We drink it.
So you don't have to. All right, man. So that was beer. We sort of took a test ride of North America. Well, you know what? After beer, what do you like to do?
I like to bullshit.
You like to bullshit.
But where do you bullshit is the question.
I mean, at a diner, man. You drink some beers. You head to a diner. This is Jersey, motherfucker.
It is Jersey, motherfucker. And, dude, you know that they're a new retro diner chain is supposedly coming to New Jersey to try to take on the regular... Jersey diners.
All the mom and pops?
Yeah, all
a
the
chain
mom and
diner?
Pops. A chain diner. It's called
kidding me.
Five and Diner, and it's all like 50s nonsense.
That's corny.
It's like Johnny Rocket.
They're going to fail.
You would think it'd be a fail, because you got to, not only do you have to compete with real diners.
Yeah.
That like serve real diner food.
Sure.
You have to compete with Johnny Rockets, which is already a retro type diner.
Yeah, that's very true.
And not only that, but you have to compete with Denny's. Who serves the same exact style food. Like, if you saw the pictures,
yeah.
If you went onto the Five and Diner website,
sure,
and looked at their menu,
right,
it looks just like Denny's food. It's like the two bacon strips, the two sausage strips, the two eggs, the hash browns with the...
A Grand Slam.
Yeah, like a Grand Slam breakfast. A Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity.
They're going to fail. Do you think this place is going to be open at 2 o'clock in the morning for all the drunks?
And do they have disco fries?
No.
For those who don't know, the disco fries are French fries with brown gravy and melted cheese.
Yeah. I mean, there's sort of basic fare that, like, off-menu stuff you know. In New Jersey, got happy waitresses. Everybody's got a happy waitress.
Absolutely, which is an open-faced
grilled cheese
with bacon.
Bacon, tomato, you know, yeah. It's sort of disco fries. And anytime you want a burger, you say deluxe, and you know you get some freaking lettuce, tomato, and fries on the side.
Plus, how many friggin' diners are there around here?
A billion. A billion and a half. These things will show up in malls. Yeah. And it, like you said, it was Johnny Rockets are already in the mall, so you're going to get dirt. There's no way this is going to last. You know what we should do?
What should we do?
We should take a field trip to the first retro diner that opens up. take just atomic shits in their bathroom.
Atomic shits, baby.
Yeah, baby. Because you and I know how to do atomic shits, right? So not too long ago, I witnessed like the most magnificent turd you'll ever see in your life.
Did you sneak up on it?
No.
Is it thick?
It was thick.
Big question.
Yeah.
Was there any kern?
No, there was no kern, but there was like, it was a light brown.
Did it curve into a nice J?
No.
It was more like a loaf then. Maybe he used the three seashells. Did you piss on it?
No. I'm kind of hoping that maybe through our podcast, we can reach out and touch the other people whose lives were touched by this turd. And if you left that turd, email us.
What is our email address?
Our email address is, it's booksbeerbullshit@gmail.com. But the catch is to replace the I in shit with the number one.
Oh.
Because apparently Gmail has a problem with potty mouths. If you email us there, good luck having us go check on it once every 6 months, too.
Yeah, we'll catch you on episode 27.
Episode 27.
We'll Skype you in.
It'll be like your boss checking the suggestion box at work. What else, man? What else you want to bullshit about? I mean, I want to
bullshit
shit.
About this. Being that,
what do you got?
Being that
you did your homework this week.
We did a bit on the bizarro horror. And the headline, South Korea seizes capsules containing powdered flesh of dead babies.
Oh, Ryan Harding, do you hear that?
Yeah, those wacky Chinese are up to it again. South Korea reportedly seized a container full of capsules.
Containing dead babies?
The bodies of dead babies are chopped into small pieces and dried on stoves before turning into powder.
Why on earth would anybody do that?
They want the stamina. They say it's from the government of China's sterilization enforced abortion policies. So there, it's a natural, dead babies are now a natural
resource.
We've got
all these dead babies on our hands. What do we do?
What do we do with them? We chop them up and dry them on the stove. Throw them in the oven.
Now, who's really at fault here, China or South Koreans for wanting to swallow dead baby capsules?
They've had 35 smuggling attempts.
Wow.
During which 17,450 capsules of labeled as stamina boosters were discovered.
Now, how many dead babies does that equal?
I guess that's a lot of dead babies.
That's disturbing. So, yeah, I don't put it past the Chinese to do weird shit like that. What are the South Koreans? I thought the South Koreans were like us, man. Democracy.
Yeah, but
capitalism.
Doesn't mean they're not crazy Asian markets there with dead baby capsules.
I guess. This doesn't bode well for the humanitarian effort of the Chinese on the national market.
Maybe they were just trying to make baby powder and it got lost in translation. You know, it's funny, the photo that goes along with this is...
Yeah.
Is a baby wearing a mask.
The SARS mask.
The SARS mask. Because, you know, you wouldn't want to inhale any loose baby powder.
No. Well, you don't want your baby diseased before it gets ground up into vitamin supplements.
South Korea doesn't really want to blame the Chinese because of diplomatic relations.
I heard that the North Koreans called up and said, look, it's them fuckers.
Do you want that sweet and sour? Spicy? Little spicy, please.
Welcome to Shitty Rock. How do you like your shitty chicken? Okay, so this week we've offended the French Canadians.
Koreans.
The Koreans.
The Chinese.
The Chinese.
And Asian people everywhere.
Yes. I heard they don't like to be called Oriental.
America.
They prefer slanty eyed bastard.
Nips. Yeah. We prefer to be called Nips. Thank you.
Charlie. Stay away from the Orient shit. And next, the Eskimos.
Yeah, what about those Eskimos?
Yeah, all right, man. Don't leave the Eskimos alone. Yeah.
You have a hard enough time eating.
You know who I hate? Teenagers.
Why do you hate teenagers?
They're foul mouths. They're just a bunch of hate crime motherfuckers.
Hate crimes.
Just running around committing hate crimes all the time. How about you teach a kid not to be an asshole? How about we do that? How about you just do the right fucking thing in life and teach our children not to be assholes?
Exactly. Fucking scumbags.
I'll come beat your ass up myself, motherfucker. So I guess there ain't much more to bullshit book or beer this week.
Do you wipe from front to back or back to front?
Oh, you always got to go from front to back, right? That's the rule. You don't want the shit getting in your vag.
Right. Okay. So how do you do it?
From front to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just think about how awkward it is to wipe your ass.
What do you think humans did before toilets and
they used a Sears catalog.
Before Sears catalogs.
Use a leaf.
Did Cro-Magnon Man use a leaf?
No, he probably just shit and left the
just let it hang there. Didn't they get irritated butts? I mean, like, you never see that at the Smithsonian, do you?
No.
In the little diorama, you don't see Cro-Magnon scraping the shit off his ass on a rock, scooting along like a dog, huh? I don't know.
You really maybe.
And then when they were eating berries? God damn, you know what your shit looks like when you eat berries?
Caveman shit. Let's look it up.
Oh, petrified caveman shit. Google that shit.
Early human guano.
I think we just named this episode. Episode 2.
Early human guano.
Well, apparently dinosaur's poop is much more study than caveman poop. Well,
I'd say that just about wraps us up.
I think we need to wrap this episode up, sir. So, we gave you our review of Ryan Harding's Genital Grinder. We gave you a double review of beer this week.
A double shot.
We had Flying Fish Exit 8, which we thought just tasted like beer, but we paid too much for it. And then we took on the Unibrew Ephemere, which was...
More up to beer...
Books, beer, bullshits. Usual low standards.
And we wrapped it up with a little bullshit about ground-up dead babies. And...
Lots of turd talk. We hope you found something to like about this episode. We want you to join us next time. We're going to be checking out a book by one of our favorite authors,
Ailey Martinez.
His latest book is called
King Mullus versus the
Sinister Brain.
So we'll about have that one in the tank, so we'll be able to maybe get an episode out earlier than we think.
We hope so, and maybe another 2 weeks. And in the meantime, we're going to try and find some more disgusting beer. We haven't committed to anything yet. And as always, we're going to try and bullshit about some bullshit.
Bullshit and bullshit. So for books, beer, and bullshit, we're signing out. I'm Jeff.
I'm Frank. Catch us on Facebook. Facebook.com/books, beer, bullshit podcast.
And Gmail. Books, beer, bullshit with an I for a one.
One for an eye. That's all we got for you this week. God help us all.
This week? You mean this episode?
This episode. God help us all.
And thank you. Outro.
Adios, sucker.